Welcome to Run, Thrive, Survive with me, your host, Sierra Carter, the number one podcast for your healthy habits for nutrition and exercise, race reviews from special guests, and everyday motivation. And of course, you guys, surviving life together. Are you guys ready? Let's go. Hey guys, and welcome back to another awesome podcast today. I've got an exciting guest here today, and we're talking about something that's near and dear to our very hearts, and that's the Boston Marathon. If you are familiar or not even a runner, you probably have heard of the Boston Marathon. It's a very well-known, one of the oldest marathons out there, and it's coming back up. So back in 2020, it unfortunately got canceled, but 2021, they are holding it in October. It's a little bit later than it's usually held, but it's still going to happen. And today, when this podcast is released, it is actually sign-up day for most of the runners who have qualified for the marathon themselves. So all of us are ready and excited and to see where this year takes us with Boston. But without further ado, I want to hear from our guests and their special stories and how they got there, when they ran it, and what a journey it takes to get there. Because anybody that's qualified for the Boston Marathon knows it doesn't just take one race after a week of training. It takes months of training, lots of planning, heartbreaks, tears, early mornings, late nights, anything that you can think of to get to this race. And for a lot of us, it means a lot. So I want to introduce first Beth and Rachel. Rachel, let's go ahead and start with you. Who are you? Why do you love running? And why Boston?
Yeah, so I'm Rachel Spaulding. I am currently finishing up my PhD in clinical psychology at West Virginia University. I'm getting ready to start my clinical internship at a VA medical center. I'm originally from the Chicago area. So psychology is what I do by day. But my main hobby and kind of one of my biggest passions in life is running. I started up when I was 11 years old. I did soccer. And I wasn't very good with hand-eye coordination, foot, sports with balls. It just was not a good situation. But one thing that I could do was run for a long time. I was the midfielder who could run all over the place. And my coach said, well, Rachel, maybe you should do cross country instead of soccer, something with running. And so I was fortunate enough to be at a middle school that had a beginner's cross country team. And I kind of picked it up and never looked back. So at age 11, I started up. I ran track and cross country through middle school and high school. In college, I started getting more into road racing and started out with half marathons. And then when I started graduate school and moved out to West Virginia, I thought, hey, I'm starting this whole grad school thing. Why not train for a marathon as well? Just tack on one more.
Why not?
Potentially stressful life experience.
But you got to be married to that too.
Yeah, it was something I'd always wanted to do. And I ran my first marathon in Pittsburgh my first year of grad school. And then my third marathon, I was able to qualify for Boston. And that's the one that I did in September of 2020. Boston had always been just kind of the pipe dream, you know. Even as this punky middle school runner, I would hear about the Boston Marathon, and my coaches would talk about training for it, or they knew somebody who had qualified, and it seemed like, wow, 26.2 miles. I'm only racing 2 miles. I can't even imagine doing 24 more. So it was just something that I always held kind of out in the distance. And then as I got older, it started to get closer and closer, and now I really am hopeful that it can become a reality this year. So
you qualified. Okay, you qualified in 2020, so you didn't get a chance to even put in to see if you could run 2020.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
So this is how much did you qualify by?
So I needed 3:30, and my time was 3:16:07.
Wow.
So I've got about 13:52. I'm really hopeful that's enough.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, fingers crossed for you. That is awesome. What a great time for your third marathon. What were your first two marathon times?
So first marathon I did in right around 4 hours, and that was in Pittsburgh. It was a terrible choice for a first marathon. It was extremely hilly. The back half was all hills. I was dying. I also really, my training looked a lot different then. So in high school, I was pretty injury prone. And so for my first marathon, I thought I wanted to take it really easy, only run 3 days a week, just really focus on cross training and strength. But I noticed that I could probably start increasing my mileage a little bit. I had gotten stronger. So for my second marathon, which I did in Traverse City, Michigan, the Bayshore Marathon, which is just beautiful. Highly recommend it if you want a flat and fast course. I did that my second year of grad school and was able to get down to like 3:45, I think.
That's nice.
And that's when I kind of put it in reality. I was like, I could qualify for Boston. I could do this. And so I decided to really just make 2020, it was supposed to be my year. I was going to do the Bayshore Marathon in Traverse City again in May, started training at the beginning of the year. And of course, COVID happened. The race I wanted to run in May got canceled. And so I ended up just kind of scrambling. I was like, I'm in great shape. I'm running 5 days a week. Mileage is the most it's ever been. I feel like I really can do it, but now just finding a race. And it was kind of a miracle, the race that ended up happening. It was the Holland Haven Marathon in Holland, Michigan, kind of a smaller local road race, but they were able to pull it off and work with their community to get it happening under the guidelines. And it was just an incredible experience. So long journey to get there, but got the time and now just hope to get to Boston in person.
Absolutely. I was going to say 30 minutes from 30 minutes. Jump and completely cut off from your second to third marathon. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a big jump.
Yeah. I think one of the things that really I changed too was I focused much more on strength training. I've always been kind of on the smaller side, not a whole lot of muscle, but I really focused on that lower body strength. And something else to note is that where I train out in West Virginia is all hills. And these two marathons that I did in Michigan were flat as a pancake courses. So coming from West Virginia to these flat courses, it was like, man, this is great. Like
you had it in the bag. It was your race.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I think it was just, it also, you know, I'm just the type of person that when I set a goal, I really commit to it. And I'm like, I saw it, it was there, and I wanted it.
And you got it. You worked hard. And honestly, I think it'll pay off for you. I definitely do. Like, fingers crossed. It's a small field size this year, but fingers crossed.
Right.
I believe great things are going to happen for a lot of people this year because we all deserve it after 2020.
We deserve it,
We all deserve it. We so deserve
it.
It's going to happen. Beth, so who are you and why do you love running?
Who are you, Beth? I'm currently a marketing manager at a manufacturing company in Buffalo, New York. I started running actually similar to what Rachel said. I started with soccer in middle school and high school. I also was not very good, but I was a runner. I was very fast. And so the track coach, who was also the soccer coach, said, "Hey, why don't you do track in the spring?" And my initial thought was, no, I don't want to run just to run. I need to chase something. So put a soccer ball in front of me and I'll go get it. But I don't want to run just to run. And they pushed and pushed and pushed. Finally, my sophomore year, I was like, fine. And I joined the track team and I was hooked, absolutely hooked. Ooh. But I also wouldn't run more than 400 meters. That was my sweet spot. I was one lap around the track and I was done. Yeah. I would do 100 meter, 200, 4x1, 4x4, nothing longer. And then, so I was a sprinter, and then in college, I drank a lot instead and I didn't run at all.
Cough, cough. No, okay.
I mean, you know,
you know what? You admit it. So college,
whatever.
It's not a problem. College is not a problem.
Yeah.
When you leave college, that becomes a problem.
Yeah. after college, I decided like, all right, I'm going to do a 5K, you know, and it was a nightmare because I had never run more than 400 meters. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I got this. So I started a 5K, like I was running a 400 meter race and I blew up, you know, half a mile in and decided like, okay, I need to kind of get a little bit more serious about this. And so I started actually learning how to pace and, you know, I like kind of started from scratch on distance. And then I was doing 5Ks for a really long time. I was getting a lot better at them. And then I decided one night, like in January of 2011 or something, I'm like, I want to do more than this. And so I jumped off the treadmill after my 3 miles and I signed up for the Buffalo Half Marathon and not knowing anything, nothing. So naturally I blew up there.
How far out were you when you signed up for this though? Like how far out was the marathon when you signed up for it?
Oh, it was the marathon's in May.
So this is January. All right.
January.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like time, upcoming weekend. All right.
No.
I just saw that going that way, that story.
No. But I made, you know, I made the same mistake as I did with the 5K. I went out too fast and all that stuff. And then I was like, I've got to fix this. So the second one, I dropped like 8 minutes off of it.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay, I figured it out. And then I just got hooked. And, you know, then I was like, I will never do a full because the half hurts so bad. And then 6 months later, I'm like, okay, I'll do a full. And so,
it's like a drug. It fixes you.
It is. Yeah. Because like when you start doing longer distances, you start like for the first time, you really start to learn a lot about the sport and like who the main players are and like what's involved and, you know, what like different tips and tricks and like what you're doing for your body and everything. And it was just eye opening to me. And I got so hooked, like you said. And plus, you know, the endorphins of it and like how you feel about yourself and you're so much healthier and everything. I thought, okay, yeah, this is something I want to keep doing. And, you know, at the time all my friends are having babies and I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go run. Like I'm going to go to another city and not worry about anything and go run a race.
I
you
love
know?
That. That's so true.
So, yeah. And then, so I ran my first marathon in 2014. It was the San Francisco Marathon. So like Rachel, it was a very hilly first marathon. And I ran I think like a 4:20. It was not pretty, but I was also just going to finish. That's all I wanted to do. And then I did Disney 6 months later, but that was just for fun. Is I did the Goofy challenge, so I did the half marathon and the full marathon back to back. So that was like a 4:22. So I was still pretty happy that I did
just to finish.
Yeah. And then the third one was New York City the following year, and I ran a 3:55. So I was like, okay, I knocked 25 minutes off. Like,
you did good.
Okay,
there.
Let's see what else I can do. And then that was my third one. And then after New York, I did another half marathon in Pittsburgh, actually, and somehow blew my PR out of the water. And it was that race where people said you should really start to try for Boston. They're like, because with this half, you got it. And I, you know, like, okay, but can I do that twice, kind of thing, you know? So I took I took a leap. I got a coach, and he's like, yeah, I'll get you there. And so I ran the Erie Marathon in 2017, and I qualified, and I ran the 2018 Boston Marathon. The deluge, the wind, rain, and cold. Oh, yeah, that was my first and only Boston. That was great.
Oh, my God. But you want to go back, so of course you're hooked.
Yeah. And I talk to my friends who've also done that one, and I was like, would you do it again? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I probably would too.
Begrudgingly, yeah.
Yeah.
You need a do-over. You need one where at least the sun may come out.
Right. Well, even that weather one, they're like, if you could go back in time and do it again, would you? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a part of history, you know?
Yeah, I mean, everybody talks about that one. Everybody knows that one, too, and they know it's 2018.
Yeah.
So, like, that's even the better part, where you're like, I ran 2018. And I bet people's faces like, ooh, I'm
like,
so sorry.
Ooh.
Because the next year, it was, like, unreasonably hot. I just remember people complaining. They're like, oh, yeah, well, my friends and I in Florida were like, oh, that's not hot, when everyone's like, it got up to 70 degrees. And we're like, we train in 90. We're fine.
Yeah.
So, but over here, I get it. Like, it heats up to 70 degrees up there. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But that is, I can't wait to hear that story about running through the rain, running through the wind, and just surviving it. Because Rachel and I are dreaming about our first Boston right now. So we're hoping that the weather's perfect, which, not to mention last year, it was perfect on race day when it was supposed to be. I don't know if anybody else checked the weather.
Yeah.
But so after the break, we will be getting into both of your stories about Boston. And Rachel, you and I can kind of get on one page about what we dream our first and best Boston will be. But we are going to hear this awesome story from Beth coming up right after the first break. All right, guys, we're back and we're ready to hear about Boston coming up. So I want to start before we hear about Boston and Beth's experience. I want to talk to Rachel. Rachel, I've got a question for you. When Boston comes around, what, if you haven't yet, or maybe what your past training looked like, what is your training going to look like? Like, how many miles on average do you reach during training? Or what is your method to go about training
for Boston? Yeah, so I, for the past few months since the race in September, I've really just been working on building base mileage. I think that I found that I can run a higher volume of miles than I thought I could. The key is just to do proper stretching, strengthening, making sure that I'm really doing all the things after a long run, the foam rolling, the icing, all that good stuff. So right now I'm at about 60 miles a week for base mileage, 55 to 60. So my plan is, if everything goes and October is what we're aiming for, I'm planning to start training in July, so I'll probably taper back my base mileage a little bit before then, and then in July start up a training plan. And I go with Hal Higdon. He has never led me wrong. He has a Boston bound training plan, and I'm planning to just kind of sign on for that, and here we go. He got me to the qualification, and so I'm hoping that he could get me to a good race in Boston. Something that I really want to focus on, I know that there's a lot of hills in the course in Boston. I actually will be moving out of West Virginia in June. I'll be moving to Milwaukee, so a bit of a flatter area. So I'll still be looking to build in hills. It may be a little more difficult because I won't be out here where I can just walk outside and there's a hill right there. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Just signing on with Hal and hoping he leads me to it again.
That's awesome. No, I like that. I'm a little bit jealous of everybody that has hills because, of course, I have three. I think I have three options here in Florida. I have two causeways that I live near. And then if I want to drive like an hour and a half away, there's a few rolling hills. But these rolling hills are, I might as well just start running up the sand dunes on the beach. That's kind of how, that's how I have to train down here. I just run in the sand in the heat. I don't train for hills.
No, it's definitely, it is. Yeah. And it training is. In the heat, that's something else that's going to be different this time around. Absolutely. Is training in the summer. So I think while I hope to stick to that training plan, I know I'm definitely going to have to listen to my body and potentially use the treadmill. You know, I am very heat sensitive. I like cold weather. 50 degrees is perfect running temperature. 70 degrees, like it was a couple years ago, no, too hot for me. So knowing that I may have to take some runs indoors and really just pay attention to how things are feeling. Absolutely. I think that's key to any training cycle, is really just being in tune with your body and physically and mentally how you're doing with the training.
Absolutely, knowing your limits. So many people get injured because they know their limits, but they try to push too far past them, right? Where you need to push just a little bit. It's like a nudge every single time. But as soon as you push way past them, you just blow past that stop sign. We most likely see a lot of injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Beth, what does your training plan, what did your, let's go this way. What did your training plan look for Boston 2018? And so, what might be different this time around?
So for 2018, I was training just to finish it because I wanted to just experience it. You know, like I don't even think I had a goal time. I think I was just, because I wasn't planning on qualifying again there, because I know a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. I was like, no, it's my first one. I'm going to actually like enjoy it. And, you know, and what I did, and I'm so glad I did it, I obsessed over the course. I read everyone's post-race report, the elites, the organizers, the, you know, the race director, people who've run it in the past. I was asking tons of questions like, what do I need to know about the course? And I am so glad I did that, because what they don't really tell you is the first 17 miles are downhill. 17. So, you know, you hear that and you're like, oh, sweet. The first 17 will go by super fast. I'll just coast through. And then just there's only, you know, 9 to go. No, because after that, you've got the Newton Hills. And you, if I can just tell you, give you any advice, do not run the first half as fast as you want to, because the gun goes off, and or it's supposed to. I'll get onto that story. And you literally go straight down, like straight down. And oh, I gosh. Was like, oh my goodness. But you, if you go too fast going down, you're gonna trash your cabs, or I'm sorry, your quads. So
right.
With the hill training, it's really important. It may have been Hal's plan. I didn't do Hal's plan when I trained the first time. I had another plan I went off of, but you would do hill training, and they would do running downhill as part of the training so that you can learn to kind of hold back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's very, very important to know how to do that, because when you get in the Newton Hills, I had no problems with them whatsoever, because I knew the course and I knew not to go out too fast in those first 17. And I was just, the hills aren't bad at all. They're not, it's where they are.
Yeah.
So that's something really just to keep in mind. But the, the training for that was, it was a very bad winter here for it. So I was doing, you know, 16 mile long runs in -3 degrees. So I was like tripled up in layers, you know, snowing. I would come back and like my eyelashes were all frozen. And I mean, I have some pretty cool pictures from training for that race. So I was like, man, if I can train through this, Boston's going to be a piece of cake. Yeah.
The you joke jinxed was yourself.
On me that year.
You jinxed yourself with that one.
Oh man. Like, as I remember leading up, like the couple weeks leading up to it, we were like, everyone started to like, oh my God, like look at this weather. And I like was on Twitter tweeting to like our local weatherman. And I was like, what does east southeast mean? Does it mean it's blowing east or coming from the east? And he's like, no, it means it's coming from the east. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I learned a lot about meteorology that year. It was,
oh no. And so getting, how far out did you train for Boston? How many weeks are both of your training plans usually look? Like, is it 8? Is it 12? Is it 16? How far out do you usually start training for a marathon? We'll start with Rachel.
I usually look for about 12 to 16. Mm-hmm. I think this time around my base is bigger than it has been, so I can probably afford to have a bit of a shorter training plan. I think my first marathon I did about 18 weeks building up, but I didn't have nearly the base mileage that I do now. I think it really depends. It's very much individualized based on that base and what you're coming from.
And how often do you weight train or strength train?
Try to get it in about 3 times a week.
God. Are you a fan of yoga for runners?
Yes. That's something else that I adore. Yoga with Adrian, if you've ever seen her on YouTube, she's my girl. She is my yogi. Huh. I do yoga, I could say probably every day, on rest days too. I love it. I love it for my mind, my body. It just feels good.
It's such an underrated thing for runners. And I mean, I've read a lot of articles. Like I had when I first started training for Boston, I kind of had this like head to head with I had a friend coaching me, and he'd run it 8 or 9 times. Well, he never strength trained and never was a fan of yoga. He's like, you just need to focus on running. And I was like, no. I'm going to get injured. I know myself.
It all works together.
Right. It all works together. So like we butt heads. He's like, you really should just be focusing on running. And it was like a headbutt, but I was like, I will advocate for yoga every single day for runners, because it is so good
it's
for your body.
It's a game changer. And thinking about in high school, I dealt a lot with stress fractures and muscle imbalances, and I couldn't even touch my toes. It was bad.
Absolutely.
I was the least flexible person on the team. I'm also tall, so it kind of goes hand in hand. But now I find that I'm much more flexible, and the injuries don't pop up when you have that muscle stability and strength.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Right?
Like, you don't get injured. It's all the yoga, and I always say it's also my chiropractor. I give him credit all the time,
there you
too.
Go.
So.
There you go.
That's even more important as women. You know, like we need to strength train more. I really do. I'm a huge advocate of it myself. Like, it's really important. So
it's just breaking through those the boundaries that we've set for ourselves, thinking we shouldn't be in the weight room. Because so many people are like, well, we bulk up. Yeah. And I'm like, you won't bulk up.
And you don't even need to have heavy weights. Just body weight. No. You know, there are some great body weight home exercises that with the pandemic, I mean, you can get just as strong just from body weight or light hand weights. You don't need to be going pumping huge iron or anything like that.
Absolutely. During the pandemic, I think I learned some really killer workouts with those little 2 pound weight, like those pounds or like just the ankle weights, like killer workouts that will probably tone you more than a 20 pound dumbbell hover could.
Absolutely.
So Beth, what does your training usually like? How far out do you usually start? And do you add a lot of things into it or do you focus on just running?
So I, like from a cardio standpoint, it's primarily running unless, you know, like if I get injured or something was like
no cross training
wonky for whatever reason, I would bike or I would like aqua jog or whatever when, you know, I could get into a pool. But primarily I think it was, Boston, I want to say was 18 weeks, maybe 16. But now I can probably do, like Rachel said, probably between 12 and 16 because I've been running for so long that I've just always got a base. So, but I know my Boston training for 2018 started at the end of November, which, well, yeah, makes sense, I guess, for April, because I was actually traveling in Africa when training began. So I'm like, oh my God, I missed my whole first week of training. And I was like super upset. But then I'm like, I've got 17 more weeks. I think I'll be
okay. And you were in Africa. So
yeah, I ran there too, but you know, not much.
That's so cool.
But yeah, so then I, well, yeah, when I came home, it was probably about 17 weeks training. But like I said, now I've been doing marathons a lot. Like I've qualified twice since. That's awesome. I'm like, I've got the base. So I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Now, how much have you, what kind of qualification time do you have for this upcoming Boston?
Right now I've got 15:41.
Wow. Of a
cushion. Yeah. So
awesome.
I'm confident that's a big enough cushion, but.
I think so.
I'm riding with the hope that anyone with over 10, you're
good. Me
too.
I'm thinking 10 is, I think 10 is,
I can't see it being that much more.
I agree.
I think somebody said when we were all talking, somebody was on, you know, there's people predicting a 30 minute cushion time needed. And I was like, that's ridiculous, you guys.
There would be no feel.
Yeah, there's no way. Like,
everybody would be
cut out. That can do that.
Right. And I mean, think about it. I'm not sure. I mean, I know a lot of people are kind of trying to figure out too. We don't know how many international people might be traveling over here. It still might be a little bit too early for international travel or that volume of international travel to begin. Like there might be a few, but the volume itself, I can't imagine is going to be super high.
And the Chicago Marathon is the day before.
Oh, gosh. But there's a lot of people running back to back. They're like, oh, I'm hopping on the plane the next day. I was like, good luck.
I would do it if the logistics didn't stress me out so much. I would totally do other people.
Right. It's like running an ultra or a 100K. It's no big deal. Big deal for some people.
And so, you get a break. So it's even easier than that.
You get to sleep for 8 hours in between.
Yeah.
Or a little bit more depending on what you feel like.
True.
And snacks. So let's go to the Boston experience itself. Rachel, you and I haven't run it yet. What in your mind, how do you dream it perfectly? Go ahead and explain it to us, like if you're living it or if you've already lived it.
Oh gosh!
And we'll see how accurate it is. We'll catch up with you after you run Boston. We'll see how accurate it goes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the perfect weather would be like 50 degrees and overcast, no direct sunlight, because again, I don't like it when it gets hot, when I get sunburnt. 50 degrees overcast, like perfect weather with like a long sleeve and shorts. That'd be ideal. And I just, you know, the crowd support, I mean, just the pictures I've seen, the videos I've seen, just that the energy is something that I really am looking forward to, just being able to soak that up.
Yes.
Also, I'm a big foodie, and I've been to Boston, and I'm a huge fan of the lobster, the chowder, all that good stuff. So the most epic post-race meal is also something that I've been dreaming about. And just crossing that finish line, knowing that it's something that I've been dreaming about since I was a kiddo. And finally being able to get there after so many years, so many injuries, ups and downs, early morning wake-ups, blisters, runs that sucked. It's just all building up to that blue and gold finish line.
And I mean, that's why it's so... I know, I do too. It's like, that's why it's so emotional. Like, you can feel it. You're like... all those tears and all those late nights, they're all going to come. And it's all going to be for that one, like, cross at the finish line. Not even the 26 miles. It's just getting to the finish line itself.
Yeah.
It's like such a huge accomplishment. I do have goosebumps. Oh.
Right. And I had thought about it so much for getting the qualification time. Just breaking 3:30 was that thing that I had thought, I can do that and that will be it. That will be my moment. Right. And now it's like, okay, Rachel, now let's actually do the thing. That will be your moment. So one last step.
And you flew past that 3:30 finish line. You didn't even worry about that. That wasn't even that was a little blip. Now you're at Boston. So that's awesome. Right. And I love how you said all that food post-race. You know, so many people make the mistake, I'm going to try it the entire 3 days up to the race when I get up on Friday.
I've learned the hard way on that one.
Oh, I think we all have. That was the wrong Chicago marathon. I will not. That was one marathon I'll never talk about again.
Did you do deep dish before the race?
Kind of. I tried to refrain, but I did a little of it. Oh, I mean, they had it in front of my face. It's so hard to resist. So I was like, I'm in Chicago. No. I made it here, so I'll be okay. Ooh. Now, let's hear the real experience of 2018 from the cold, windy weather to crossing the finish line. Beth, would you like to give your experience? Let us live it with you.
Yeah, I will keep this as concise but detailed as possible. So prior to the race, you're shuttled to the Athletes Village, which is like this this field at this high school, I think, from what I can recall. And you're basically just stand in tents and wait until your corral time is. And I was like, I don't know, maybe the third or fourth corral. So I had about an hour and a half to wait. So I had my food and I was in the tent, but it had been pouring for so long and so hard that it was just a mud pit. And I had a complete change of clothes, complete change of sneakers, everything with me. I had two grocery bags around my shoes, and I was still in shin-deep mud for an hour and a half. And we were huddling. People were standing on garbage bags. We're making friends, you know, whatever. And so they announced, like, the blue corral or whatever corral I was in to go up and get ready. So I'm like, okay. So I go up, and I completely changed my clothes from top to bottom. I just wanted to put on dry socks, dry sneakers. So it was kind of like it helped a little bit. And I wanted to use the porta potty before I took off. And they're like, okay, Blue Wave, you can line up. We're going to start soon. I'm like, you know what? It's Chip. I'm going to use the restroom. Like, I'll be fine. So I went to the bathroom and then I walked up and they're like, and I showed them my bib to get into the corral. And they're like, whatever, as long as you're not like yellow or red or whatever, like the last two waves are, they're like, just go ahead. And so I'm like, okay. And I went up and there's no one at the start line, nobody. And they're like, we're not even doing a gun. Just cross when you want. They're like, it's too chaotic. It's too, everything's too delayed. It's too, they're like, just start. No. And I was like, very not ceremonious. Okay.
Oh,
I literally walked up to the mat, bent down, tied my shoe again, and then just jogged across the start. And that was my start. And so the first couple miles, it was really funny to see people like avoiding puddles and everything. I'm like, guys. So I just like, first mile, I went straight through the first puddle because I'm like, just get it over with, you know? And then by then everything it was fine after that. But it was wet. It was miserable. It was cold. I mean, everything they say is true. It was like 30, 40 mile an hour headwinds. And they were coming in gusts, and like, they would literally stop me in my tracks. The gusts were so strong. Torrential downpour the whole time. It was so cold. And I'm sitting here like, I just trained through this horrible winter. Like, but rain is completely different, you know, and we were soaked to the bone. And, you know, I was going through, I really hope for Rachel's sake that there are spectators this year, because there weren't that year.
Gosh.
Like there were some, you know, we had the crazies out, but it was very, very, you know, all the things they tell you to look for with the spectators, they weren't there. There was no baseball game, so there were no fans out by the stadium. It was, you know, and I got about 2 miles in, and I thought, you know what? I turned my watch upside down. I'm like, I'm not even going to – I can't control this. Like, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to stress about my time. So I didn't, and I actually – I had studied the course, so I ran the course, and I enjoyed it as best I could. I laughed because I'm like, what are you going to do, you know? And like I said, when you got to the Newton Hills, I was just cruising up the hills because I took the first half nice and slow. I stopped to use a porta potty on the course. I had to pee. I was like, whatever. So I stopped, and, you know, then I actually didn't realize I was on Heartbreak Hill until I was done. Because at the top, there's a big, like, blow-up arch that they have up there that's like, you did it. You know, you did Heartbreak or whatever. And I saw it, and I started to cry because I'm like, oh, my God, I just ran Heartbreak Hill, and I didn't even know. You know?
You trained well for the on the hills then. You trained real well. You didn't even notice.
It was fine. It's like half up, half straight, half up, half straight. And there's four of them, I believe, maybe three. And then I knew, like, what to look for. There's, like, the big sitko sign. And then when you get to Hereford and Boylston, I had all of these layers on that I planned to take off, you know, throughout the race, and I never did. But I'm like, damn it, I want a good finish line photo. So I took all the layers off and threw them and then turned on to Boylston and crossed the finish line. And I, like, had the clothes on that, like, you could finally see my bib for, like, the first time. Nice. And when I turned on to Boylston, I started to cry again, too, because I'm like, holy crap, I did it. Like, I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And but it actually didn't really get scary until you crossed the finish line, and then people started to drop like flies. Like, I saw people go from crossing the finish line, like, super excited to turning white and, like, just going hypothermic. Like, people were delirious.
Oh,
it was,
gosh.
It was really scary. And, they give you, like, Mylar blankets, but these were, like, quilts. I still have mine. Like, I'll wear it out. Like, it was super heavy. And they, my shuttle was like 15 blocks away. So I was just glad I could keep moving. Cause the people who stopped were the ones that went down. So I was like, okay. So I kept moving, got to my shuttle. It was super heated, got on the shuttle. And then they drove me back to the hotel. Well, they drove a whole bunch of us back to the hotel, and we got out, and, we walked into the hotel, and, like, the whole hotel staff was cheering and clapping. They had warmed up towels and bathrobes and wrapped us all in them. They had like coffee, tea, hot chocolate, everything. It was, oh my God, we're staying there again this year. We already booked it. Like, and I would love to give them a plug, and I can't remember.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what hotel is it?
I think it's the Residence Inn. It's in.
That's the one that I booked. No way.
In Cambridge, there you go. That one.
Oh, I think mine's in Watertown.
Oh. Well, you can get it on Marathon Tours. It's it's an official Marathon hotel because they shuttle you to the start and from the finish, which is why I chose it. Because I'm like, I just want ease. I don't want to have to think about it.
Right.
And they were outstanding. Like, that morning of the race, they slipped a little, like, good luck card under the door and stuff. Like, it was super cool. So look on the Marathon Tours and Travels. I think it's the only one in Cambridge, and it's a great location, and it was perfect. But yeah, it was spectacular. But yeah, the race was, but I was thrilled when I crossed the finish line and found out Des Linden had won. Like, that was huge. So I was like, I was so excited. Yeah. I'm like, anything to keep me moving, you know?
Yeah.
So.
What I thought was cool that year too, and I didn't know it till somebody was telling me about it. The second place female winner that was across the finish line. She actually, I guess she had no trouble with this because she was running. Her story was like she was from Salt Lake City, and she was like running through the snow and ice and like everything in Salt Lake City that winter had thrown at her there. So she said when she was watching people drop out, she just kept going because she was like, this is
fine.
It feels. Yeah. It's pretty much like your story. Like I trained in -3 degree weather. I'm good. Like, I mean, like down here, that's a shock. Like, if I were to go up there, I'd probably cry and run away because like
rough.
Under 90 degrees, what do I do? right. I mean, I was cold in Chicago. It was like 40 degrees in Chicago, and I'd never felt that crisp. Like, I guess it's like a humid, crisp cold up there because I'm from the West. So like I'm usually it's dry, when it's 40 degrees, it's a warmer 40 degrees. So when I felt Chicago, I was cold. I never took layers off. I was bundled up the whole time. People are running in shorts and like tank tops. I was like, what is wrong with these people? I'm freezing cold the entire 26 miles.
It's
what
like
is
summer
wrong
in
guys?
Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're from the Northeast. That was gorgeous.
Right. I know. Rachel's probably like, oh, this wimp. I grew up there. Oh my gosh. Now, Beth, if you could go back and do something different, not the weather. We can't control the weather. We're going to control the controllables. What would you do differently on race day or maybe after the race? What would you do differently?
Well, see, I think I had the right mindset for the race. I knew not to stress over anything because I'm like, I cannot control what's going to happen. So
right.
I I think I did, for me, everything perfectly. Everything was right. After the race, the race actually injured me because I got a bone bruise on the bottom of my foot. And as my PT described it, he goes, imagine slamming a hammer on the bottom of your foot 26,000 times. He's like, that's what it was essentially, because my sneakers weighed several pounds more because they were soaked. And I weighed several pounds more because I was soaked. And so he's like, you basically just were slamming the bottom of your foot. So what I would have changed after the race is not continue to run through a bone bruise for several weeks and actually taken the time I needed to heal, which I mean, obviously I ultimately did, but I could have done it a lot faster with a lot less stress and a lot less, misery after the fact. But, I drank the perfect amount of beers after that race. I ate the perfect amount of food.
You deserved every single bite of that one. Every single bite of whatever you had. That's what you deserved.
And I drank a lot of them.
Oh my gosh. Now, Rachel, do you have anything big, like not big, but like what are your top three things that you want to do in Boston while you're there? You've been there, but what would make Boston special for you?
First and foremost is just being able to share it with my family, my parents, who actually were there pretty much every step of the way for my qualifying race. Fun story with that, COVID times, they were basically able to drive alongside the course and watch me at every mile. So being able to share the experience of the city with them. Of course, huge foodie. So the food. Yeah, soaking up that. And the history of Boston, too. When I was there, for a conference, and I wasn't there very long. So I'd love to just be able to explore the city more and really take time to enjoy it instead of hustling around in a pantsuit like I did last time I was there.
And just head down. Like, this time you actually get to run through the streets.
Exactly.
I think that's just so cool. It's like what running's about, where... these like routes that you can only drive, maybe walk alongside the road or just walk on the sidewalks, but now you actually get to be in the street in your own little spotlight running through it, and
you get to feel a part of the city when you're on foot.
Yeah, and it's so cool. Yeah, absolutely. Now, what did you guys think or Beth, what did you think of the start line? Like, do you like a point-to-point marathon with this where you have to go out somewhere and run to the city, or would you like to see maybe it wrapped around? Like, how did you feel about that?
I liked the point to point. For logistics purposes, I prefer loops. Like for me, Chicago is perfect. I know we're talking about Boston, but Chicago was, the course is perfect and their logistics, their layout, everything is perfect because you end like a quarter of a mile from where you started, and you get a hotel near there and it's easy peasy the whole way. But Boston does have it together with, getting the shuttles and getting there on time, and they make sure you have plenty of time. I just am not a fan of the Athletes Village situation. Like, I also did New York City, and I was in Athletes Village for like 3.5 hours, and I was like, you're ready to go at 5 a.m. when you wake up. You don't want to have to stand around for 4 hours. That's the only reason I don't like point-to-point. I just did a point-to-point race this past weekend, and it was the same situation. Like, we got to the starting line late because of logistic mix-up. There was a whole bunch of other stuff. But point-to-point is a little bit more stressful. I think I would like a loop. But Boston, it's the exception. I mean, they do it right. Like, you go through all the neighborhoods that you want to see when you're there, and you wouldn't see them. If you went into the city, you're going to stay in the city. If you went to visit or whatever, you don't go out to Hopkinton, you don't go through Newton, and it's, I like that Boston is suitable for point to point. And it's just, you get more spectators that way, different ones, not like seeing the same ones twice or whatever.
But, and it's neat because I know I've heard you can maybe not because there's no spectators. I'm so sorry. That actually really hurts my heart for you. People say different. There's so many different kinds of groups that come out along the course. You have the boys. I think it was boys and girls group. The girls' college. Girls' college is a big one. And I mean, that's just so cool. You're just all these different groups of people along the entire way.
They all show up.
Like, that's so awesome.
For runners. Runners, we're so used to kind of being pushed to the side. A sport that doesn't get televised. It's kind of boring to watch. I remember I ran the 2 mile in track, and people would never stick around to watch the 2 mile. 8 laps around the track, that's boring as heck. So for the first time, we actually have people turning out to watch us. And, and having a city as big as Boston really turn out for that is so incredible.
It is. Because, I mean, New York's a little bit televised. Chicago's not televised almost at all. And then the other ones, like the other six majors of the six, really aren't televised whatsoever. So it's really neat that Boston, overseas now, it's like really neat Boston's that big one. Now, a question for both of you, and even to get into anybody listening that's maybe on the edge of thinking about training for Boston or starting to hit that journey, what is one big piece of advice you would give them before they start? Just one line, one word, whatever it is, just one piece of advice that you wish you knew before starting your journey or you're on the road to Boston. We'll start with Rachel.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot you guys. Don't speak at once.
I guess training is as much it is about the big mileage weeks and the big things as it is about the little things. So focus on the little things, the nutrition, foam rolling, fueling during runs. You need to eat during a long run, stretching, all of the little things. Those really can make or break your training.
Absolutely. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Beth?
Mindset. Get out of your own head. Because you are going to be your biggest critic, and you are going to say, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Because that's where I was. And I was like, there's no way I want to put my body through that. Like, there's no way I would have to do this and this, and I can't do it. And then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to smash some goal that you didn't know you had. And then suddenly you'll start believing again. So it's something that definitely get the negative thoughts out of your head. And it's, as you know, Rachel said, it's not just all about mileage. It's also 90% mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my mind, it's 90% mental. It's probably really only 10% mental, but I am totally.
it's the behind the scenes work.
You gotta have the right mindset to believe you can do it, and then the rest will just happen.
It's absolutely.
I truly believe that.
Absolutely. It's almost, I mean, if you don't believe in yourself and that you can do it, you shouldn't even go out. And I think that's a horrible thing to say, but it's just so true. If you're telling people, maybe I'll do it, you don't believe in yourself. You got to be like, yeah, I'm going to be running that marathon. See you guys later. And then people laugh. That's fine. People laughed at me when I said it because I was the one that cried during the mile. But I was like, I will be there. So don't you worry. So, yeah, I couldn't agree more. So now,
and give yourself grace. That's also huge. Grace.
Exactly. And listen to your body. That goes along with giving yourself grace.
So we have a lot of advice.
Oh, yeah. We can keep it coming here.
A lot of lessons have been learned, right? We need a t-shirt for each one of them. Like, listen to your body, or, you know, it's 90% mental, something like that. We need
be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. be kind to the runners around you. Don't spit and have it hit somebody behind you.
Right. So, check both ways before spitting.
Check your shoulder before you spit. So coming up, so after the next break, after the second break, we are going to play a little bit of Jeopardy. I've got some fun questions for you guys. We kind of covered some of them throughout this talk, but we're going to come up and see if you guys remember them and make sure everybody's paying attention. So right after this break, about 30 seconds, we will be right back. All right, guys, we are back, ready for Jeopardy questions for the Boston. So trivia Jeopardy, I know, kind of the same thing, but we will have both of those here for you. So, ladies, we are going to play it. I'm going to play it Jeopardy style. So when you answer the question, do what, like what is, who is, okay, how is, you know,
how
you answer it. And we're going to go with whoever raises their hand fastest.
Okay.
Hands ready.
So get your hands ready. Make sure you're not going to hit anything on the way up. I've got 8 questions that we will get through. Are you ready? Deep breath.
We're ready.
All right. In what year were women first allowed to run Boston? Beth.
What is 1968?
Oh, you're so close. Do you know, Rachel?
What is 1970?
So close. You were closer. What is 1972?
Oh,
I know. So but 1966.
She got Price is Right rules. She got closest without going over.
There we go.
We'll mix the games. Because I think it was 1967 that woman tried to run it, which I can't say her name because that might be a question. And then she was
didn't know that one.
Yeah. So you were close. You were very close.
Okay.
All right. Let's try this one. What holiday does Boston take place on? Oh, who was first?
I think it was Beth. Beth got it.
It's Patriots Day.
Yeah. Woo! One point for Beth. Good job.
Woo!
All right, you ready? Third question. What is the oldest baseball stadium that runners run by? Beth.
Probably going to lose a point now that I actually heard the question. I'm going to say Fenway.
Yeah, it's Fenway.
Oh, yeah!
It's Fenway.
I'm like, did we
Fenway
run Park. Past more than one stadium? That was my fear. I was like, Gillette?
You're like, oh no, it was raining. I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. What is the oldest marathon dating back to 1897?
Beep, beep, beep.
Beep, beep, beep. All right, you guys want to take a guess?
Athens Marathon?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, it's actually Boston.
Oh, geez. Come on.
Guys, remember what we're talking about today?
Yeah, no? Right.
It's okay.
Wow.
Next time.
It can't be that easy, right?
I know, I put that one right in front of your face.
You did.
It's okay.
It was like, guys, read the screen.
That was a freebie. All right, question number five. Who was the first woman to run the Boston Marathon? Oh, who's... Beth.
All right. Was it Catherine Switzer?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Good job. Woohoo! All right. We talked about this. What American woman, or which American woman won the Boston Marathon in 2018? Oh. Rachel?
Who is Des London?
Woo! Nice. All right.
I haven't been answering in the form of a question.
Oh, that's true.
What is Fenway?
Wait, you answered the first one. You answered
the first one. Yeah.
You did. Who is Catherine Switzer?
You know that.
All right, I think I'm caught up.
Who is Catherine? All right. And what is the name of the most famous hill in the Boston Marathon? Beth.
What is Heartbreak Hill?
Yes. Good job.
Yeah. Woohoo.
All right. Last question. Where is the what location is the finish line in the Boston Marathon? Beth.
Where is Boylston? Downtown? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Boston?
You got it. Woo! All right, that's all I have for your trivia today.
Ooh, I'm sweating. I'm actually sweating.
Do you guys have any fun facts about Boston before we wrap it up?
Oh, the day after the marathon, assuming they still do this, if you go to the finish line, there's an Adidas store right there because they're a sponsor. They'll embroider your time on your the celebration jacket. So A, get a celebration jacket, and B, the day after the marathon. I don't remember what time because they might change it due to COVID things, but it's free.
Right.
So go. And if you're, it's order of whoever gets there first. And I was like second in line, and it takes like five seconds, and they will embroider your time. Just
sweet. Oh my gosh.
So
that is so cool.
That's really cool insight.
I've actually never heard anybody do that. So that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. On your jacket. So, but they'll only do this year. So don't bring like 2017 and be like, hey, I ran this, you know, like they won't do it.
Where did they put
Someone try that.
Here on the back. Where did they put it?
I got mine on the back, but you can get it like on the chest, on the arm. I got mine on like just like on the back. So when I like ride wearing a ponytail, it's on the back. So
I love it. Yeah. That's so cool. Awesome.
Amazing.
Well, I hope you guys are super excited like I am, and I'm wishing you guys best of luck when we all register next week.
You too. Feeling positive vibes. I feel like we're going to get it.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Definitely. Again, good things coming our way this year in 2021.
Exactly.
I will see you both at the starting line for sure.
It's happening. Just visualize it and it's going to be there. Manifest.
Exactly. It's what we have to do. Absolutely.
And then we'll do a follow-up.
And see how we all see if it was better than the 2018 and if it was close to how Rachel envisioned it.
Okay.
Awesome.
Anything will be better than 18. Trust me.
I have to hope so.
It honestly sounded 2018 kind of sounded like a 2020 race. Like it just sounded like it belonged in 2020, not in 2018.
Move that 2 years later and it would have been so fitting.
Yeah. Oh, let's not even go there. All right, guys. So if somebody wants to follow your road to Boston, can they follow you on Instagram? And where at?
Yep. Mine is at Neil Beth. It's N as in Nancy, E-E-L, B-E-T-H.
Awesome.
That's that simple.
Awesome.
And I am at Runner Rach 18. So R-U-N-N-E-R-R-A-C-H 1-8.
Awesome.
Searching for you right now.
For you too.
Follow. Hit that follow button. And let's see where we all head to on this road to Boston, because we're all training in different spots, so this will be fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
awesome. Exactly. And also, if you guys listening to this podcast enjoy today's podcast, please head over. Also, my Instagram, all my social media right now is The Runpreneur. I'm Sierra Carter, so I will be there, and I have the fun little picture of me in green, so you can't miss me. So you guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I can't wait to see where we go. And I'm super excited. Woo! And I hear somebody's dog.
That's my dog. He's mad.
And that is our cue to head out. So you guys, run your lives. We will see you later. Bye. Thanks.